Hello friends, welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
It you. I'm happy to be chatting to you today, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm bloody gorge, thank you. How are you?
I am great. Have you been, aside from what we are reading for the pod, have you read anything recently you'd like to tell me about?
Yes, I have. I've read something brilliant that I want to share, but it's not out for a while. We'll probably do an episode about this, but I want to share it because it's relevant to today's episode.
Is it the content moderation one?
Yes, I just read this book that Picador are releasing in May. It's called We Had to Remove This Post by Hannah Berwitz, translated by Emma Rout. And basically, it's about a content moderator who works for a social media platform. Her job is to review disturbing content and decide whether or not it needs to remain or be taken down. It's a really short book. I read it in like a couple of days. Oh my God, it's so good. It's really dark and really wonderful and weird and just fantastic. And I think it's going to be massive. So we will do an episode on it, but I can't wait to share it with you.
Cool. I'm hyped. I will definitely read that.
What about you? What have you been reading?
Collective Street. So I read, I don't know. I've been reading a lot of like crimey stuff, some of which is like better than others, but I decided I needed to read something that was not crimey or thrillery. So I went on my Kindle and I looked for a kind of like literary fiction that was going to be good, and I chose this book that was out in like 2019 called Ask Again Yes by Mary Beth Keane, and it was so good. I enjoyed it more than I've enjoyed many things for a long time, and yeah, I feel like it kind of maybe flew under the radar here a bit. I think it did quite well in America, but I don't feel like I heard loads about it when it came out. But if you're looking for like a smart and moving and beautifully written literary fiction book that is not, you know, it's very like straightforward, it's not like experimental, it is just so good.
When you say that title, I immediately remember vaguely what the cover looked like.
And it's definitely like one green.
Of those books. Yeah, written in like a almost like a handwriting font.
Yeah.
It's one of those books that I feel like I kept seeing for 99p on the Kindle for fucking ages, but never really saw in a bookshop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think the combination of the title and the kind of abstract cover means that you get zero sense of what it's actually about. And so then I don't really get why you would be drawn to it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why would anybody who didn't already hear about it be like, I'm going to read that book? But it's really good. It's about the two New York City cops in like, I think maybe about the 70s who meet on duty and how their lives and their families kind of converge and overlap in some quite extreme ways over the next several decades. And it is just so great. So yeah, if you're looking for a book of that ilk, I advocate for Ask Again Yes by Mary Beth Keane.
She said it. She said it. She means it.
I did.
So to introduce today's topic, I was a little bit late to our recording slot today. Guess what I was doing?
Were you on TikTok by any chance?
I was filming and uploading a little TikTok. I'm obsessed with TikTok, mate.
I love this for you.
So we thought for this episode, we'd just talk about TikTok, talk about BookTok, talk about what's happening over there, and just have a nice time. How does that sound?
I love the sound of this, and I'm relying on this as, like, you educating me about BookTok, because I do have a TikTok, and, like, some time ago, I can't remember, was it last year or the year before, I would, like, occasionally post some videos, but it was only very much under duress, and if my husband made them for me, and if my husband told me to make one, so it was very much not, like, a thing that I bonded with. So I am here to learn. I'm here to hear about BookTok from the great master, Alice Slater.
So I too, actually, incidentally, got into BookTok or got into TikTok because of Bethany's husband. He's TikTok famous. I worship the ground he walks on.
Me too.
But it took me a minute. It took me a good minute to figure out how BookTok works and how I want to exist as a 35-year-old grandmother in this book space. But first of all, I want to tell a short anecdote, if I may.
Please.
So back when I was a bookseller, this is like 2011 or 12, I worked in the Walthamstow branch. And suddenly there was this influx over the course of several months, an influx of teenagers coming in and asking for a little book called Looking for Alaska.
By John Green.
And it was by John Green. And it was okay. Really odd. It was really odd because this book wasn't new. And I couldn't figure out where all these kids have got this recommendation from. And I don't know if you've never spent much time talking to teenagers, they can be very difficult to get information out of. They don't trust why you're asking it. They don't understand that as an adult, you don't have access to the same shit as them. So I would ask these kids kind of casually, like, oh, loads of people have been buying this. Where'd you hear about it? And they just look at me like I was a complete alien. I was only 24, by the way, but they look at me like I was an alien and just be like, I don't know. So it felt like a puzzle that I'd never get to the bottom of. Until we discovered that it was because John Green is very famous on YouTube. So he was one of the OG YouTubers. He was a really early adopter to the channel. He and his brother Hank Green, who is also an author now, and Hank Green also happens to be very big on TikTok, but they were called the Vlog Brothers. They would communicate via YouTube videos where they would tell each other things, and that's how they kind of built their platform. So it was the first time that I came across this like really organic internet-based kind of book phenomenon. I saw it repeated later on with the Rupi Kaur Milk and Honey.
Yes.
And that was a very similar situation where this time I was in Ilford, all these teenagers started coming in, but this time these teenagers weren't buying the book. They were standing in the section, in the poetry section, because we didn't know what it was. We just shelved it where it should go in poetry. So they'd sneak in. They wouldn't be able to find it in the teen section. They'd come and ask. We'd show them where it was. And then they would wait for us to leave. And then we'd see them flicking through it. And it took us a long time to realize that this time, this book was Tumblr / Instagram famous. That, you know, it
so
was
they
so...
weren't buying the books, but what were they taking photos of the books? With not buying
No, they just
them?
Wanted to see them. They just wanted to see them. So the difference being that Milk and Honey is very sexual. John Green, although there is sex in his books, like this was, they were very different branches. They were very different teenagers. So Walthamstow, you had all these like kids coming in and buying something to read with their parents. Kids in Ilford were sneaking in to have a look at this like sexy poetry book, which is quite, awesome. I've always felt was like really exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how I got kind of, that was my second like interaction with how the internet can create bestsellers, right? And now we're seeing it again with TikTok, but on a massive scale, an absolutely massive scale in comparison. So to just throw a stat at you, the TikTok hashtag BookTok, which is like, you know, Bookstagram, the kind of generic hashtag, has 37.4 billion views on it so far. And that's as of the end of January. So it's still
billion.
Growing. Billion, 37.4 billion views. TikTok has 1 billion monthly active users. That is a 45% growth in the last year. The platform is absolutely massive. And it feels to me, as someone who's on there, bigger and scarier than any other social media platform I've ever been on because of the way that it works. So if you're on Twitter, obviously you're tweeting out into the void, but you're mostly, your tweets are going to be viewed by people who follow you or people who follow your friends who interact with you. Same with Instagram, your content is mostly viewed by people who follow you or people who follow the hashtags that you use.
And that's almost like the intention, like you are sharing stuff with people that you kind of already know. That's like the intention of the content on those platforms.
Exactly. Whereas TikTok, you're just throwing it out there. You create content. You can follow people and you can follow hashtags, but your content is mostly going to be viewed by strangers, people who are not following you, who have never interacted with you before. So your potential reach is so much more, it's so much bigger. And that reach can happen so much more quickly than on any other platform. So like, to give you an idea as well, I feel like it's not unusual to come across videos on BookTok that have a million views. Several hundred thousand views. That's completely normal. Yeah.
And it's so not like you have to, you, in order to get those numbers, it's not like you have to have loads of followers already, which is would be the case generally on something like Instagram, that only an account with like hundreds of thousands of followers would be getting hundreds of thousands of likes. Whereas on TikTok, yeah. there is no real correlation between how many followers you have and the potential for your video to get masses of views.
And well, I mean, obviously it helps, but one of the biggest kind of factors that will determine whether or not a video pops off on TikTok is that first hour or two of interaction. Yeah. So obviously, if you have 100,000 followers, then your average number count is going to be much higher. But anyone has the potential to go viral very quickly. And so, yeah, I've noticed, so the bookseller published an article with James Dorn this week and then published another one maybe at the end of January, just talking about BookTok and talking about TikTok as this platform for selling books. But something that I am endlessly fascinated by is that because BookTok, I think the average age of a TikTok user is so much younger than other platforms. It's really like Gen Z's playground. So you're looking at teenagers up to people in the early 20s, mostly. They sit outside the industry. They're not following the industry the way that people on Twitter are following the industry. So they don't give a fuck if a book's new or not. They don't care about that. So the books that can pop off can seem really random. So, like, one of the first big TikTok books were We Were Liars by E. Lockhart, which came out in, what, 2014? Yeah. So, We Were Liars came out in 2014. It was then shot back up to the bestsellers list, I think, 2 years ago or a year ago, because TikTok found it. TikTok videos started going viral. And then this is the other thing about TikTok, is that, like all social media platforms, virality is something that people chase. So if one book is kicking off, then other creators will buy it, read it, and then create content about it because they want to tap into that
thirst for the content about
they want to tap into that audience. So like it becomes very self-perpetuating. Another really interesting thing about BookTok is that the TikTok algorithm is like no other algorithm I've ever come across on any social media platform. It's really sensitive and really good. So we could both be on TikTok and be experiencing completely different worlds. Like yeah. I follow, obviously I'm very much into my BookTok, but I mostly get like, basically when I first joined TikTok, I wasn't really watching book content because all I was seeing was YA and sci-fi fantasy, neither of which I'm particularly interested in.
Yeah.
Slowly, it's like the algorithm has learned that I do like books, but I don't like that. So I'm now way more likely to see, for a while I was stuck in like sad gal lit talk and just seeing, I could easily see 5 times a day, 5 different videos all about my year of rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
Another BookTok bestseller.
So what do you see now? What is a BookTok that kind of reflects your interest look like?
Okay, so what I thought we would do is maybe go through some of the BookTok viral hits and discuss whether or not that surprises us, and you know, just discuss the vibe. So one book that I see probably every day is The Song of Achilles, not Circe, which is the one I've read, but Song of Achilles.
Yes, that kind of makes sense, right? Because it is kind of like gay.
It came out in 2011, so this is a book that's over a decade old, and yeah, that's
like there
I
is
see.
Such a There's such a kind of appetite for these Greek myth retellings now, and the combination of that trend plus gay equals guaranteed success.
Yeah, definitely. Another one that I see all the time that I don't think I had even heard of is It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover.
Nope, never heard of that in my life. What is it? Tell me more. What's the genre?
Okay, so it's a 2016... brave and heartbreaking novel. As I said, it's not one that I actually know. It looks very much like a YA love story. Hang on, let me click on it and see. So Lily hasn't always had it easy, but that's never stopped her working hard for the life that she wants. So it's like a gal from a small town who ends up feeling a spark for a neurosurgeon who sounds like an asshole. And basically her new relationship is really overwhelming, and she kind of loses herself to it. And it's described as a heart-wrenching love story and an unforgettable tale that comes at the ultimate price. So very, like, I don't think it is YA, but it has that, like, very dramatic kind of, you know, all you know what it makes me think of?
All-consuming love.
All-consuming love. It makes me think of Megan Nolan's Acts of Desperation.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think ignore my YA comment. That was just based purely on the cover. Okay. It's just adult dramatic romance. Another one that I see pretty much every day is The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Nope, different book.
What?
It's not Seven Deaths.
No, The Seven Husbands. Fuck yeah. Me.
It's because there's two books with basically the same title that both contain the word Evelyn and the word seven.
I was literally like, dude, I'm looking at the cover right now. What the fuck are you talking about? No, yes, The Seven Husbands. Thank God nothing gets past you.
Thank God I'm here. Yeah.
So again, this one is 2017. It's not her most recent novel by two books. And this one is about a fictional old Hollywood star giving a final interview to an unknown journalist. So quite, you can see how this led into Daisy Jones.
Yes, in terms of form and structure, yeah.
But I've never read it, apparently. You know why that's popping off? Why?
It's gay.
Oh, okay. So we're also probably revealing that I'm very much on queer talk.
Yes.
If that's two out of three so far, very gay.
Yeah, and so, but also, maybe TikTok is queer. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be on TikTok, but the books that TikTok are interested in, that BookTok are interested in, are skewing more queer.
Well, I mean, that's definitely going to be true because Heartstopper, Alice Oseman.
Yes,
queer. She's massive on, yeah, queer, massive on TikTok. So that's definitely a vibe. I think also, like, once I got into the kind of my year of rest and relaxation kind of stream, books like Boy Parts were coming up a lot. And there's definitely this thirst for like deranged female narrators.
Yeah, like subversive women vibes.
Yeah, 100%. And yet at the same time, though, I feel like because of the way that the content self-perpetuates, people are desperate for more book recommendations, but they're just being shown the same books again because those books get numbers.
That's very interesting. And then
that's the other element, I think, of the fact that so many creators are not known but to the industry. It's not like Instagram where every big account is sharing proofs all the time. Like the big accounts on TikTok, it's like the Wild West. They're not being sent proofs. They're not being sent the kind of perks of being a book influencer. So all the books they're sharing are books they're buying. So they're not keeping up to date with frontlist. They don't know what's coming out. And it does mean, like, I think, yeah, there's this kind of strange limitation to the content because you can tell they love the books that they love, but a lot of these creators haven't yet, you know, the industry isn't paying attention to them. So, like, I could think of five books that are coming out this year that if you loved My Year of Rest and Relaxation, if you loved Acts of Desperation, that would appeal to you. But the industry isn't paying attention, so they're missing out on that, like, well, the industry hasn't been paying attention. I feel like it's going to be changing. Mm. Now that the bookseller's reporting on it, I think we're going to see a big shift.
And also, it's interesting that, like, what users want and what creators are doing are not necessarily completely aligned. So if you're saying that creators are incentivized to repost the same stuff that other creators are posting because that is like trending, that doesn't actually help users who want more stuff like that book. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Definitely.
It doesn't, there isn't like an ecosystem of like new recommendations. It's more just like waiting for the next thing to, the next like big trending thing to come along, rather than using that as like a springboard for like a vibe.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing as well is like the variety of content about these books, because I just realized that's not something that I've really talked about. But if you watch BookTube, which I know you don't, but BookTube tends to be either vlogs, like here's me in a bookshop buying some books, here's me baking a cake, and now here's me reading the thriller I bought, Waterstones. Mm. Or like book hauls, here's everything I bought this month, here's everything I bought in the bookshop today. Or kind of wrap-ups, here's everything I read in January, here's 10 books about this specialist interest that I have, that kind of thing. Whereas book talk, the longest video you can have is 30 seconds. It's 3 minutes. But the average length of a video is more like 30 seconds. The platform relies on very swift, quick videos. So you have to make your point really quickly. A lot of the book talk videos that I come across, you don't get as much talking to camera as you do on YouTube, because you just don't have time to do that. Also, the camera, the built-in camera flips your image. So if you hold up a book, the title's backwards. So it doesn't sit naturally on the platform. So most book talk videos are just a little hand appearing in screen holding a book up. And sometimes that's all the video will be. It will be like a title, so 5 books about deranged women, and then you'll just see 5 covers. No voiceover, no description, no information whatsoever, just book recommendations in its kind of most raw, naked form. And I've noticed that I'm starting to see more and more comments from users saying, but what are these about? But what is it about? But what's the book actually like? So that's interesting. I wonder if, like, as book talk gains in popularity, users are becoming a little bit more demanding, and they want a bit more from the content. They're not happy anymore just to be shown 5 book covers.
Yeah, like, they want recommendations. They don't just want to see stuff that exists.
Especially because if you're seeing the same books over and over again, so, you know, you can see boy parts 100 times, but what's it about?
Yeah.
Another book that's massive on book talk, which I think is really interesting, is A Little Life. Again, gay.
Gay.
A booktuber with a big following did a vlog of her reading A Little Life. I think we talked about this on the pod before, but I'll just describe it again. She filmed herself over the course of a week reading this book, and she went into it being like, it's my sister's favourite book. I've had it for like 2 years. If I don't read it now, then I'm never going to read it. So I'm going to read it and I'm going to see if I cry. And she obviously sobbed her heart out. So this vlog just becomes increasingly deranged as it goes from like nice shots of her on her bed reading and petting her dog to video of her just inconsolably sobbing into her pillow, gripping this increasingly tattered paperback. And that triggered, it like sparked a whole bunch of other young women reading this book for the first time and filming themselves doing it. It became this really strange phenomenon. And we're seeing that now appear on TikTok as well. And then, yeah, also I think like some other obvious favorites, The Secret History.
Because they love Dark Academia, and that's the OG.
But so on my book talk path, that's the only kind of Dark Academia title that I ever see. It's almost like I think Dark Academia has like had its day now. That doesn't seem to be interesting the book talkers anymore. And then also in terms of like, so on Twitter, proof hunger is a big thing. So like when the Sally Rooney proofs started dropping, Twitter just went completely nuts with, you know, memes and jokes and, you know,
some quite laments. Undignified responses.
Some undignified displays. Now that the Atessa Moshfegh proofs are dropping, what's really interesting is I've seen a whole bunch of these proofs. So that demonstrates that the industry is sending book talkers proofs, or at the very least that book influencers from other platforms have started to create content on book talk.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing the same, like, I'm not seeing the same frenzy, you know, like people are just like, oh, I didn't know there was a new one. Oh, why can't I order that? Like the kind of world of proofs isn't as apparent, which I think is really interesting.
So TikTok is not necessarily like au fait with the actual publishing ecosystem in the way that like other, maybe Twitter or Instagram might be.
Exactly. And I think that's a mix of the users being younger, but also just because of the absence of publishers. Mm. Like I make book talk videos. I'm really enjoying it. I always check to see if any of the publishers that I'm talking about are there, and almost that like the big 5 are all on there now, but no indies. I think 404 Inc. is the first indie that I've come across on TikTok. The first one. And like, it's really interesting because it's not that hard to go viral. I mean, sorry, maybe that's not a fair thing to say. Like, obviously it's not easy, but the barriers to going viral are quite low. Yeah. All you have to have is like the right combo of like a bit of luck, original content, something that kind of catches people's imaginations, and you'll go. It seems like such a great place to be, like launching proofs, you know, sharing new books, getting a whole new audience excited about like a paperback when it comes out. It just seems like a power that publishing should be harnessing more, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can just I can just really see like a smaller publisher with a small staff just feeling like, I don't even know where to start with this. Like, I'm not that surprised that that most indies are just like, even if they want to, they're just like, this seems too hard, or I don't know how to make video content, or I don't know how to edit it.
Aha, but you don't have to be producing content to have a TikTok presence. So just by having a TikTok account and monitoring your hashtags, letting users tag you in their videos, you know, like, it just create that sort of presence. You could then track who's talking about your books. You can then tap into a whole new, you know, arena of influencers that you may not have heard of before. And also, people then know where the fuck to order them from. The number of times I see people asking, where can I buy this book? Where can I get it? And the publisher voice is completely absent. Mm. And in some ways, in earlier iterations of like the platform, that's probably a nice thing. It's really cool to see teenagers doing their own thing and having their own space and, you know, sharing books outside of the kind of rigid rat race of publishing, which is just constantly moving. On the other hand, the platform is already way beyond it being that. It's not been that for a couple of years. Like, all the other brands are on there. So there's no reason to leave teenagers. You know, like, it's not like leaving teenagers alone. Like, adults are on there too. Brands on there.
It's a different
advertising world, is on there. Yeah, so I just think publishers should be on there. And I think you, humble listeners, should be on there too.
Yes, agree.
So yeah, and I'm also quite excited to start seeing like book talk tables appearing in bookshops. I mean, that started happening about a year ago.
I love anything that means that like young people are finding interesting things to read, and who cares if they're new or not.
Well, exactly, because I think like connecting readers to books is ultimately what all of this content, you know, it's what all of these platforms, it's what all of these influencers are aiming to do. I think it's really exciting to see what happens when it's that, what when that's happening in a bubble, you know, when it's happening outside of the eye of the industry. It's quite cool. And it's exciting to see, like, you never know what the next thing will be. And I do think that even as the industry starts to catch up in this space, you're still going to see that virality can happen on any video, which could be about any book, and that's really cool.
Yeah, it's not skewing just towards like new releases or stuff that publishers are putting loads of money behind.
Exactly.
It could be anything.
Yeah, because especially as like when I talk about like these creators and these like this audience existing outside of the industry, it's sometimes difficult to remember like how much stuff I take for granted is just inherent. It's not just knowledge that everyone has, such as different countries have different publishers, and just because something is available readily in America doesn't mean it's available readily here. And like as the world becomes more global, you know, like the internet has kind of made this sort of content much more global. Oh, that was so inarticulate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, why shouldn't... Like, if I'm in the UK and I can see a book exists, like, why wouldn't I expect to be able to buy it? I can buy everything else that you can get in America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is completely unnatural.
People aren't going to want to wait. I don't want to wait a year. Like, it reminds me of the way that movies were when we were kids.
Yeah, that, like, exactly.
You would see... You would know that in... I remember going on holiday to America when I was about 15, and we saw Queen of the Damned in the cinema, and I came back thinking I was all that because it wasn't out for another 6 months in the UK. You would literally never have that now.
Yeah,
and obviously, that is the nature of distribution and foreign rights means that it's not as easy as just, why don't they release everything all at once everywhere? But I think we will start seeing more titles being simultaneously released in multiple kind of markets around the world to really like capture that global virality of platforms like TikTok. That's
Here's a boring question that I have that literally just occurred to me that I'm sure I could ask like someone who works in publishing, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Hit me.
If a book is not released in the UK, technically, if it doesn't have a UK publisher, can you buy the American Kindle edition on the UK Kindle store?
Oh, I don't think you can.
Is that a workaround? No, it's not a workaround.
I don't think you can, but I can very quickly check that. So let's do
the book that you were alluding to earlier.
Exactly. So right now you can buy it in the paperback form, the American edition, on Amazon, but the Kindle edition, the July release date, the UK July release date's coming up. But we know that one's sold in the UK. So I'd have to find. Oh, I know one that hasn't. Savage Appetites.
Oh yes.
Does not have a UK publisher, which is insane to me because that's one of my favourite books from 2020. Rachel Munro. No, there is no Kindle edition available.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's answered my question, which is not super relevant to the episode, but I just thought if I don't ask it now, I'm never going to ask it.
A burning cue that needed to be answered.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's basically all of my thoughts on book talk. That's everything I've got.
Alice Slater's TikTok takes.
But yeah, if you're on TikTok, please come and follow me and have a look at my videos. I'm the same screen name everywhere, Alice MJ Slater. Just cooking up vids for the geriatrics.
Final cue.
Hello.
Before we go. So I know that some of the advice that my darling husband gave you was about niche. So like finding your niche and creating content around that niche. Did you find that was like good advice?
Yes, it was. So I learned how to use the platform by making travel videos. I started off just using pre-existing footage that I had from trips of yore. I edited them together to make little edits about different cities that I've been to. None of those videos got any traction. They weren't very well made. I then started making videos about goth bars. I had one reach...
Garlic and Shots.
I made a video about a place in Soho called Garlic and Shots. It's a garlic-themed metal bar/restaurant. I fucking love it. I made a little 15-second video about that and it's on nearly 100k. So for a minute I was like, fun, okay.
Goth bar influencer. That's my wish.
Well, it was quite nice to just be like, it's a space where I'm not doing book stuff. It's nice to share other interests, which for me is drinking and metal and horror. But there was a pandemic. I'm not traveling. So that my life as a goth bar influencer was short-lived. I made 3 videos and that's that. So then I started with my book talk. And yeah, I mean, I've kind of found that my niche within book talk is talking about future publications, which is a privilege that I have because of years of being on the peripheries of the industry and sharing my book recommendations means I have loads of contacts in the publishing world that send me books. So that's what I'm currently doing. And I'm really enjoying it. And then also trying to mix it up with like a reading diary. So just sharing what I'm reading regardless of when it's coming out and, you know, what it is. And I'm really enjoying it. And I think one of the other great tips that I got from your husband, Paul, is that most of the videos that you make are not for viral purposes. Like the vast majority of your videos are not going to get much traction and are mostly just there to maintain your audience. And then, you know, 5% of your videos maximum, you might make with more intention of tapping into a wider audience. So you might use a viral sound, you might use a viral hashtag, you might follow a trend. The app is very trend-led. So yeah, you might make maybe 5% of your videos specifically with the goal of reaching a wider audience. But it's served me well so far.
Cool. Well, I feel like I've learned a lot today. Dear listeners at home, I hope you feel like you've learned a lot today because I feel like there isn't going to be an enormous crossover of our listeners and book talk. So I hope this has been educational for y'all. Alice can be found on TikTok at Alice MJ Slater, I assume.
Yep, that's me. That's M for Mary.
J for...
Well, Jean. I just, because, you know, MN.
Oh, right,
I could
have
done like M for mother.
I was like, why are you being so coy? Weird.
I was gonna say it's been a long day, but it's 11 a.m. I've packed a lot.
It's literally 10:49 a.m. So I think we're gonna be away next week.
So we'll be back in 2 weeks with another regular episode, but we wanted to give you a heads up that in 3 weeks' time we're gonna do a book club episode where we do a deep dive on Notes on an Execution by Danica Kafka. So if you were planning to read it and you want to listen to the ep, we would recommend that you read it over the next few weeks.
Cannot bloody wait.
See you next time.
Bye.